Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yay, it's Friday.
It's Friday. We made it.
Yeah, they it's snowing. Boo. It's Friday. It's, I don't care.
Right? Yeah. Man, when it's Friday, it's okay to snow. One day we'll take it. We got some good stuff to take this morning in the 7 o'clock hour here. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar. I also want to talk with Seth about if we should start our Black Friday shopping sooner. Half of us have a family member we'd like to ban from the holidays. Tis the season, you know?
Tis the season to ban people, yes.
Weight gain around the January 1st. I mean, all the just the hits, everybody. We're playing the hits today. Got good stuff coming up.
Nice.
8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. And a little afterwards, we're going to make you a star of the day. We're with our friends from Culver's. We'll play a famous TV theme song. You get the question right, you'll win two concrete mixers, two value baskets from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's, just like that. Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock hour, entertainment, that ain't right stories, good stories of the day. Get you ready for your weekend. We're also going to be joined by a couple of last-second guests here we have joining us. Audrey Day and Lori Peterson from the Wood County Health Department. We're going to talk about Social Isolation and Loneliness Week and a COVID update, possibly.
Very nice.
I believe we'll get that in there. Looking forward to that. Always, any chance we can talk to our Wood County Health Department. Love having them on.
Yes, indeed.
Wish them a good morning. Also, a little bit after that, of course, is our final morning magazine of the week. And we got a good one to take a wrap up the week. State Senator Patrick Teston will join us in part one at 10:06. Always an open, transparent, genuine conversation with the senator and I. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. And then we wrap up the week with Terry Whitmore, district administrator with the Nakusa Public Schools. Mm-hmm. We don't get to talk to the Nakusa Area Schools District very often, so always look forward to that. That's a fun way to wrap up the week.
Indeed.
Taking a look at our sports schedule, we got Wisconsin hockey on the radio tonight. It is a puck night. Six thirty. I was going to say, wait a minute.
Ooh, that's an early hockey game.
I just jumped ahead there. 6:30, Wisconsin hockey taking on Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. That long storied history of the Badgers and Lindenwood. You know, it's a rivalry there.
Right.
This is so rare to me, and this is part of what I love about college sports. At being a college sports fan of all the sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, all of them, football, of course, I pretty much feel like I know where every university in America is just because of being a sports fan. But then there's these ones every once in a while. Lindenwood. I'll be completely honest with you guys. I have no idea where Lindenwood is.
Okay.
That's so hard. That's so rare for me to say.
They have a hockey team. So we can like pare it down, okay?
Right,
small school, probably a smaller school, maybe a private one. I'm guessing it's in the Northeast somewhere because all the schools there have hockey teams, even RPI. I mean, all the small schools hockey teams. So I'm wondering if it's like somewhere in the Northeast. That would be my guess.
That's a good guess. I was gonna say East Coast for sure.
Yep.
We are both wrong.
Okay.
It is in Missouri.
It is.
Lindenwood University. Oh. You were right. It's a private university.
Okay.
In St. Charles, Missouri.
Okay.
Founded in
1827.
Wow.
Oh, that's an old school. Yeah. Wow.
That's
literally.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know. They probably have more modern equipment by now and everything, so that should be a good game.
Well, 1821, they didn't have hockey. So
Puck drops at 6:30. Good point. Saturday, Wisconsin football, 9 a.m. for that. And Wisconsin taking on Nebraska. I know it might sound silly because Nebraska is not a very good team. Wisconsin's having a rough year.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I'm Coach Leonard, that's a must win because I'm playing against another intern coach. And I know that they're not good enough to beat us. They should not beat us.
No.
So in that sense, it's kind of a must win for them. And he's trying to get a job here. He's trying to earn a job. So you got to win all these games you can.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens at the end of the season, where the Badgers go, the football program goes after this.
Yeah.
Because it's been, I don't know if they were, I'm hoping they weren't expecting like miracles. When Paul Christ was fired and then they raised him up as the head coach. I thought he did a very good job in the first couple of games. There was a lot of energy there. And then, there was the setback last week. You know, I guess I think you're right. I think the last couple of games of the season are going to determine whether they keep him or not to see, because it's going to be, this game is going to be an interesting one. And then it'll be a tough game against Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I mean, that's all. It's really the storyline is very fascinating this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. Considering, it could be a throwaway year. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's got some drama to it. It's got some storyline to it. And you got Braylon Allen.
I mean, come on.
Just one of the best backs in college football.
I mean.
Now, with that game being starting at our pregame starting at 9 a.m. for that Badger football game at Nebraska, that means, of course, alternate changes to our Saturday lineup. The Sunshine Polka Show will be at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect tailgate music to lead you into that Badger game. And there will be no over-the-back fence due to Wisconsin football.
That's right.
So just to keep that in mind, everybody. On Monday, of course, we'll talk about the games on Playmakers and everything. Oh, I should mention, also on WFHR Saturday night, 6:30, Wisconsin wraps up that two-game series against Lindenwood.
Yep.
So you've got football and hockey on Saturday. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Phew.
So we got a busy week around here. We've had a busy week around here, of course, because it is that way up until the first of the year, really.
Yeah.
It's just madness and chaos, and you're spinning plates. And
yep.
It's part of what we, between all of us, and don't tell anybody else this, you guys out there, we love it.
We do.
It is part of what we do this job for.
That's why we like the job. It's true.
I didn't want to do a job every day where I know what to expect and
exactly
all that stuff.
Exactly the same, right.
This is the perfect job for that stuff. So we've had a lot of spinning plates and a lot of things we've been highlighting and talking about this week. We're going to talk about Melissa's show, her one-woman show that premieres tonight a little bit later, All the Ways to Say I Love You, that you can find tickets and find out more information at wrctheater.org, but we will get into that a little in the 9 o'clock hour probably.
Yep.
But we also had a fun remote last night where we were at outside the stomping grounds at Aspire's Riverview Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and Steph were down there.
Yes, indeed.
How did that go?
That went very, very good.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. We had a marvelous turnout considering how cold and windy it was. So we're two for two with those last year and this year.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. So, James, guess what? Next year, you're up.
We'll just keep taking
turns.
We'll
just do it back and forth on that one. No, it was really cool. It's such a great event.
Yeah.
Because not only for what the foundation does, and that's one of the great things we get to do. We get to learn about what the foundation funds,
right,
including the cancer center. They help out with that. There's been a lot of focus on mental health issues at Aspirus as well. We got to talk to some people about that as well. We got to hear some essays from the sixth graders that had turned them
I
in.
I love that.
What
part.
My community needs to means to me. That's always a highlight.
Yes.
I always love that.
Yes.
And but we had a big crowd of people outside. We had an even larger group of cars there watching the lights come on and listening to us.
I was wondering. That's
on WFHR.
Awesome.
It
Very
went
cool.
really well. We had some great music during the ceremony as well. Yes, it was cold, but man, I got to tell you, it was a very heartwarming event, and I think everyone that was there really enjoyed it.
You know, for me, one of the things that I noticed right away was how, not just how cold it is, obviously, but it didn't matter.
It really
did. We still had a huge turnout. Still had a great bunch of people come out. Had a lot of people in the cars, and that was last year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I was a little worried about it. It's a little bit. We didn't have snow on the ground last year when
That's
we did
right.
this and that kind of stuff. And I don't know what I was worried about. That's so silly of me. This town shows up for these things. This area shows up for these things, and especially something like that, because you can be cold, but I almost guarantee next year for sure.
Yep.
When that tree lights up. You light up. You mm-hmm. really. You. I mean, you got to be Ebenezer Scrooge to not feel that. It's hard. Even in those moments when you're thinking of loved ones we've lost this year, or mm-hmm. in recent years, or any of that, you see that, and you see that you're not alone. You're not hurting by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Others are going through these experiences too. Others have gone through it. And I think one of the things that we don't always think about with these kind of moments, certainly honoring people we love and everything, seeing so many other people that have gone through this or dealing with it, it can help you see the big picture, see the light at the end of the tunnel oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you are in the middle of grief,
it's
very hard to find those, to see any little pinpoint of light. Literally, this gives you a light. Like, it really does. It lights up. It does, and it lights
literally
something
shines in the darkness. Yep.
Reminds you that there is a better day ahead, and that we can remember our loved ones and feel solemnly for them while also continuing to live our lives.
Right.
It's one of the It's so darn common. Mm-hmm. We barely talk about it, except for in therapies or you know support groups or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's the essence of our existence how we have to do this, mm-hmm. And it's something that most of us learn in the young age. If you're fortunate, maybe you're a little older. we don't all get to stick around. We all don't get to be here that long, and that's part of the beauty of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one of the more difficult things for those still here to yep. move on with and everything. This Lights of Love celebration, it is great that it raises funds and awareness mm-hmm. for so many important causes in our area.
Mm-hmm.
But the literal lighting of the tree and people doing this, I see those lights. I see how beautiful it looks and the great job they do designing, putting those lights up and everything. Every one of those lights hits me. Every single one of them, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a person doing that out of somebody for somebody they love, and yep. You've seen the collection of all of that, and then you see yeah. the people that show mm-hmm. up as well. If it was just you know you or I or whoever down there, and we're doing the remote live, like sometimes remotes do, you know, and you're talking to one or two people, it would still have the impact it does. Let alone when the community comes out and supports it and shows that hey, we back this, we support this.
It's become a true community event.
Yeah,
and that was kind of stated a few times during the remote last night. We did talk about that, and it's become kind of a for me anyway, a kind of an unofficial kickoff to the holiday season.
Yes,
it's more solemn. I mean, but there's also the people that were there. There was tons of energy. I mean, you could it was palpable. You could feel it from yeah. everybody. And I do want to give a shout out to Craig. I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name. Who was the special speaker? A cancer survivor, and I believe he's actually fighting cancer once again right now. But he talked about community. He's from the Port Edwards area. He talked about the football team coming together and giving him a night just in this last football season,
yeah.
which was really great. So
saw that story of his.
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was wonderful. And he got to flip the switch
yeah.
to turn cool. on the lights, which is very cool too, man. It was all around great event. I'm glad I was a part of it.
And we're looking forward to being out in the public more and doing more events
yeah.
and stuff as we go along here, especially now that we have this new sound system.
Yeah, which works great.
it was a great event and everything, but I have to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit here, because after Seth told me how the event went, all we've been talking about is this new sound system and how
yes.
amazing it is. It's just so cool.
It's remarkable, yeah.
It is really something the last couple of years, the growth that this station has been able to
yeah.
have thanks to the investments from these different organizations.
A couple of different groups,
Heart
yeah.
of Wisconsin with Marcus and these guys here at Civic with Mike
yep.
and Sage and the gang. It's so cool, man. It just doesn't get old to me. I don't know. Still hits me hard. We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back and get into our National Day of Calendar. But if you want to look more into more about the Lights of Love or have a Light of Love, go to aspirus.org/journey-into-lights-of-love. If you just type in aspirus.org, you should be able to find it going into their search bar as well.
Yes, indeed.
We'll take a break, come back, have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. And a big good morning to all of our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. They will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for Seth and I to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 18th, 2022.
Nice.
And let's see here as we dive right in. We've mentioned before it's Human-Animal Relationship Awareness Week until this Sunday. And also Road Safety Week until this Sunday.
Yes. Always important.
Occult Day. What? Why?
The occult gets their own day?
Okay.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. Get out your Ouija board, I guess.
I believe in the bottom of my heart that they do not look at these when they put them like side by side. On my computer screen here, I've got these all, they're
yep.
like in big blocks and two a piece on a row. And you next to occult day, apple cider day. Like, what?
The cult of apple cider day? A cult? Oh, no, no.
Yes, yes. What does your cult do? We apple cider.
That's all we do.
We're very dedicated to making the best apple cider there is.
That's right.
Apple cider is amazing.
I have to say that the picture they have there is very cool because it's actually apple cider in a cutout apple. With like cinnamon sticks and stuff. That's really cool looking.
I want that right now.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
It's hard to get me to drink anything other than coffee this early in the morning. I would drink that right now. That looks really good.
I got to say, hot apple cider is a treat. I got to say, especially this time of year.
Cider is one of those ones, too. I wouldn't say I could drink an abundance of it, but
no.
It doesn't. Like, there's certain drinks that I can handle once and I'm done.
Yeah.
I can drink that all afternoon or whatever. National Adoption Day.
Ooh, there's a good one. There's a good one.
If you ever wondered what it would be like to adopt a child, videos on social media report all the time about children and the surprising reveal of their finalized adoption to a new family. Mm. However, this doesn't always occur. It takes approximately 3 years for a child to be finalized for an adoption. Because it doesn't happen often enough, Adoption Day is a day created to bring awareness of these facts. So let's now learn about National Adoption Day and how it helps children all over the United States find new families. The creation of this holiday was made through a coalition of multiple organizations back in 2000. It's always interesting to note.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the numbers I wanted, though. According to the National Adoption Day website, there are over 110,000 children waiting to be adopted.
Wow. That's a lot.
110,000 children waiting to be adopted. Mm-hmm. And that this day gives opportunities to over 65,000 children to be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
That literally cracks my heart hearing that kind of thing and thinking of that. And it is nice that I think adoption families adopting kids, even families that have kids at their house until mm-hmm. they're adopted, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I would say that that's grown and gotten better, mm-hmm. but it ain't where it should be. There's still way too many horror stories when it comes to that stuff and everything. And, you know, there's just no perfect way to handle this as a society as mm-hmm. far as when a child doesn't have parents or what have you. I always like to think that things can evolve and get better. But it is pretty amazing that adoption has existed as long as it has. And while there has been some fine tuning with the care and making, you know, awareness yep. and things, it is what it is. It still is what it is. Adoption is still pretty. But the 3 year scenario is just so heartbreaking when you think of how many children are out there that could go to a good family.
Right. And I mean, you understand that it takes a while because you want to make sure and everything, you know, and that I get totally.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would be nice to find, you know, I'm not only more people willing to adopt, but, you know, making the process maybe a little bit easier in order to, you know, facilitate it a little bit quicker, because 3 years is a long time.
You're one search away from seeing the same stats that I have studied for years when mm-hmm. it comes to this of there is a way to make that process faster to bring those numbers down. It's called investment. It's called Ooh. Investing in those in those organizations, in the people that do those jobs.
Yep.
And making sure they have more people.
Yep.
And it's getting people to want to do those jobs.
Absolutely.
I keep coming back to this, man. It's like stuck in my brain. Whenever we're talking about anything, it comes right back to this. What are the young people looking at when they look at these things? And they see how we handle them.
Yep.
When they see how we treat politicians, how we treat police officers or firefighters or people who adopt or adopted kids or any
yeah.
of these things.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it used to be when we were kids, Seth, they'd say the world is watching. And yeah, they are. Everybody is now. Everything's online.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids are watching. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. Kids are seeing this stuff. And right now, when it comes to any of those things I just mentioned, what is the incentive to want to do those jobs other than, you know, it being a family tradition or it just, you know, being thankful for the people that are just born that way?
Mm-hmm.
I always say this about goalies in hockey. They're just a different animal. You're just born differently to be a goalie in hockey.
Right, right.
It's seeing more and more of that in other positions as well.
Yep.
It is also National Housing Day.
Very important.
Homelessness is a very serious problem, even in what we perhaps foolishly refer to as first world countries. And Housing Day was established as part of a movement to combat it all over the world. In the U.S. alone, there are over 643,000 homeless people and over 200 homeless in Canada, according to a 2008 study. We know with the pandemic and different things, those numbers have risen.
They have risen, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's another one of those days where this is a thing that we need to bring attention to.
We talked about that a little bit earlier this week about how important housing is to everything in society.
Mm-hmm.
Without housing, the better housing, the better the society. We've already talked about that. So, again, I don't have to say it again, really.
No, but with more of that ability for people to get on their feet,
mm-hmm.
and that then they're in the workforce, and then they're paying taxes.
Exactly.
And, yes, et cetera, et cetera.
Investing in the community that they live in.
Yeah. You should not need us to break this down for you.
No.
Housing, people, homeless bad, housing good.
That's pretty simple, right? Mm. Yeah.
National Day.
Vichy Soir.
Vichy Soir Day. I knew that. I do that. I'm a professional. I had no idea. The French are notable for their fancy dishes, mm-hmm. upholding themselves to a more a robust and elegant lifestyle incorporated into their food.
That's what they keep telling us anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah. One of these delightful foods is, what did you say?
Vichyssoise.
I've never seen it spelled. I've heard it before. I've never seen it spelled out loud. It's a soup served cold and quite comforting during these summer months.
A cold soup. Ooh.
Never heard of the soup. That's okay because they're here you can learn all about it.
See, there you go. They gave you a phonetic there. Vichyssoise.
Phonetic spellings, I almost feel like it should be mandatory. There should
for
be
some
law.
Words, yes.
Yeah, certain words. You know as you're typing the word if it should be that way, yeah. Vichyssoise is a soup made with pureed leeks, onions, potatoes, cream, and chicken stock, and is generally served cold.
That doesn't sound very appetizing.
I don't even want to be in the same room with that, let alone eat it. Many historians debate the origins of this soup. One of the earliest references of the soup is said to have occurred from the region of King Louis the Ninth.
15th.
15th of France. Oh, yeah, it is a V.
Yep, there you go.
I didn't see it as a V.
Yeah, story goes Roman numerals.
Story goes that he loved potato soup, but was suspicious of people poisoning his food, so he would have his servants taste the soup before serving it. However, once it got to him, it was cold, and the king said he preferred it cold anyway.
Sure he did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Another source states that the origin of the soup came from two French cookbooks who mentioned it in 1869 and another in 1903.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I have a suspicion of cold soups, even from like your a homeland, you know, gazpacho,
yes. Yep. Yep.
Which is, first of all, it's tomato soup, which I don't like, yeah, and then it's
here.
Cold.
Same
so
here. Yeah, I have never liked it. I've eaten maybe one bowl in my life, to the dismay of many of my relatives.
I like soup. I like it warm. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I like it
too.
Hot.
Yeah.
I like hot soup.
I'm with you there. National Princess Day. Throw a fairy tale themed party with fancy dresses for your children and their friends, watch a Disney movie, or pamper yourself royally on Princess Day. Pretty much speaks for itself.
It does. It does. I don't know why Disney got the market cornered on princesses, though. When did that happen?
They did that sneakily.
They did.
They did movie after movie and princess
all these
after princesses,
princess. Yes.
And you're right, though. They have cornered the market on the princess game.
Darn you.
But it is also kind of funny to me how every little girl you run into, they want to be a princess, or they at some point in their childhood wanted to be a princess, all that.
Yep.
But that's not something that we necessarily, like, when we're talking to our kids and we're talking, like, I don't know, there's not a ton of that they pull from for that, other than, of course, movies and you know, fairy
exactly.
tales and stuff. And I understand that those are a big part of their childhoods growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not... I don't know. It's not one of those things that we tell her, hey, you're going to want to be a princess or something. Kids just, they fall into this.
It is really remarkable how that does happen. Although it just seems to really come down to, you know, wearing a fancy dress and drinking tea. That's basic. You know, that's what a princess is.
Pretty much.
In our modern culture, that's about it.
Right. Let's take a look at this one here. It is Mickey Mouse Day. If there's one image that everyone in the world can recognize, it is the iconic ever so giant ears of that favorite mouse, Disney's Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
His face and those very dramatic ears graces everything from ceramic mugs to balloons to everything all over the world. I believe there is even a whole place there for him.
A couple of them around the world.
It all started with a short film called Steamboat Willie, and ever since, Mickey has been the very icon of family fun, hope, over adversity, and following your dreams. I will say, I don't know if that was always the case, but I think that Disney has gone a long way and worked very hard at being inclusive and having more and more things.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, my little sister, our family, we're barely beige, you know, we're not exactly, we don't stand out that different, but my sister did not have any, like, princesses, she didn't want to be a princess necessarily, because none of the princesses looked like her. And they didn't really have a lot of characters that look like her. And to be fair, they still don't. But they have gotten better about having more races and creeds and
of course,
things like that, expanding what it is to be a princess and that feeling. So I think that has included more people, more people. And not just with princesses, obviously, but with just any characters in their movies or TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
That may seem silly to some. And if it does, understand your privilege. Understand what you've had your whole life. You've been represented. Your whole life from childhood on, you have always been able to look at the TV and see a character that you can relate to or look a little bit like.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, 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 many of us out there that have never had that. It is cool to me to think the kids growing up now have that.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's overdone. I don't care if it's over PCism or any of that. We got a lot of time to make up for. It's going to have to happen for a while here.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, well, you know, the time only goes one direction.
Yep.
Sorry.
Well, and I've talked to people about this. This has been until you actually talk to someone about it. And how there's when it comes up, you know, and this is in general, not just, you know, princesses, but anything, any kind of representation. Yeah. I know someone who's half Pakistani.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Ms. Marvel TV show came on, who's also about a Pakistani family living in the United States, she couldn't describe how it made her feel because she'd never seen that before.
Right.
On a major like anything.
Yep.
So, I mean, just talk to someone. You'll find out. What it means.
And to be honest, if you don't like it and you turn it off or whatever, it's okay. It's Disney. I mean, they got billions and billions of people watching and taking it in.
What are you saying, James?
Yeah, I think they're going to be
I'm kidding.
Yeah. There is... Oh, I did want to add this one last part about Mickey Mouse. They the most recent antagonist. I don't consider him a villain in the Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Tinoch, I believe is his first name. He's a Mexican actor. Mm-hmm. Incredibly talented. Very good. They go around and on the red carpet, they ask everybody, you know, these silly Marvel questions and superhero questions. And they ask him, or they're asking all the cast members, who's the most powerful superhero? Who's the most powerful person in, you know, the Marvel universe and all this? And, you know, Thor and Hulk and all these. They ask Tenoch. He looks at the camera easily, right away, Mickey Mouse. Yeah, Mickey Mouse, yeah. And he's absolutely right.
Yes, he is.
He is 1,000% right, yes. On Saturday, got a couple of fun national days of things, like it's National Play Monopoly Day. That's a good one. Any excuse to play Monopoly.
Yeah.
It is Women's Entrepreneurship Day. That's a great one.
Go out and start a business, everybody.
Yeah.
All those women out there.
And it's Have a Bad Day, Bad Day Day. It's okay to have a bad day tomorrow.
Okay.
That's okay. Bad, fit it into your schedule. International Men's Day is Saturday as well.
We're men.
And National Camp Day.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, it's where my head went to. Because unlike some actors, I can do Robin Hood in a British accent.
British accent. Ooh.
The great Cariel.
Cariel was.
And Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
National Camp Day is also tomorrow. And then on Sunday, just taking a quick glance at that to wrap this up, it is also on Sunday, it is National Name Your PC Day. Okay. I don't know.
No, thanks.
Compy. That's all called compy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's well thought out.
Yeah, really. Yep. I used every creative bone in my body on that one. And it's World Children's Day on Sunday. That's a great one.
That's a very good one, yes.
Uh-huh. National Peanut Butter Fudge Day also on Sunday.
Very tasty. Mm, oh, wow, that looks good. Okay.
That does look good. That does look good. Seth and I are going to go find something to eat in the break room. We'll come back after. And actually, I wanted to thank Seth again because Seth covered Melissa's news for her today. They appreciate that. Nice work.
Thank you.
We're going to take a listen right now to that, and we'll come back and get into some more fun stuff here at Mornings on WFHR. Workout Party USA. I mean, Mornings with WFHR. Sorry. Serious comedy to start your day. With this techno kind of dance, like it doesn't seem dance music. It's more exercise music.
It is. It's like a whole section that we have that's all this stuff together, which is kind of funny. But
it is. Welcome back, everybody. That voice over there, Seth Havhager. You got your host, James, here behind the mic. Thank you so much for joining us. 7:38 on the clock. I got to get that clock fixed.
Shoot.
Got some good stuff coming up here today. I want to get into that. But real quickly, just a little bit of kind of breaking news here.
Ooh.
Randy Paul, our partner in sports and really our head, in fact, to head of sports around here.
We can call him that, I think.
Yeah. He has just informed me that not only is he going to be joining us on Monday's Playmakers, but our good friend Bob Brickhauser is going to join us to talk about the Cranberry Classic happening over at Assumption High School.
Oh, very nice.
It is. You mentioned earlier Lights of Love becoming the kind of the start of the season.
Yeah. Yep.
Couldn't agree with you more about that. For many of us basketball diehard fans, honestly, the Cranberry Classic is when things, I really get into basketball mode. I really start not just high school, but college football.
Get you going.
College, pros.
Yep.
I'm watching the games right now, and I'm engaged. I care, but football. You know, that's all I'll say. Football. That just takes. So, and you got hockey going on as well.
Yeah. So you've only got so much attention to split, right?
Well, and if that wasn't enough, the biggest sporting event in the whole world is going to be happening in days from now with the World Cup going on.
Yeah.
And I know soccer isn't that huge in America and everything, but if there's one thing that can get us involved in soccer, it's our national team.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting better. I don't know how we're going to do. We're facing Wales in game one. We're not like in a bad block here.
Doesn't with, sound like it, yeah.
With Wales, Qatar, and England is in it. And there's one other, I can't think of, there's one other group. We're right neck and neck with all them. England is always
ranked. Oh, I think Iraq is in there too.
Thank you. That was the other team, Iraq. Iraq and the other team, Wales, are mm-hmm. ranked just a little lower than us.
Mm-hmm.
We're like 9th or 10th or 11th, somewhere in there. And London is like 5th or something like that.
Yeah, they're up a bit higher, yeah.
We're going to see how it goes and everything. But it's, even if you don't care about soccer, even if you don't care about the World Cup, I would imagine even if you're a sports fan, you're going to pay a little bit of attention.
I think
at least.
You will, yeah. You'll hear it, yeah.
It's interesting. It's also soccer, the thing for me that soccer, I know a lot of people can't get into it because of the scoring or the pace or those kind of things. Maybe even not just understanding the rules that mm-hmm. well. That's never been the case for me. Maybe because I grew up around a lot of Latin people that love soccer.
Soccer's big.
But for me, the thing that keeps me away, like I like high school soccer, mm-hmm. kids soccer, all that. Thing that keeps me away, it's FIFA. FIFA is the most corrupt organization in human history. Like, you can make the argument they are. It's the most corrupt sports organization. As far as sport, let's just put it under the umbrella of sports. They blow away any, you can name me anything, and I could throw at you human rights violations. Like, this most current one, let alone all the other ones.
Yeah.
And it's so, this is how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad, we all know, and just keep going with it. Just kind of like, that's soccer. They're corrupt. Oh, well. You know, it's just, and not that we have a whole lot of stance in it here in the States.
Yeah.
But as a country, I mean, as a world, we just can't let it continue to go on.
Well, I always thought that FIFA and the IOC were pretty much neck and neck in terms of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
But I think FIFA really took the crown with the whole Qatar thing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you heard, they've announced that they're not going to be serving any alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, that should go over great.
It might be a very subdued World Cup this year. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, they're already having issues with all of that.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, they can't even – they have these air conditioners, gigantic air conditioners in every stadium, just hoping that it'll keep things cool enough.
Yeah. The fact that it's November, in December, they're hoping. You know, but, man, I don't know.
I don't say this against the Middle East effort, obvious reasons I would hope to the audience. My last name is Maloff. I mean, I'm a part Egyptian here.
Yeah.
But even with that, this should not be taking place over there.
I agree.
Should be taking place there in particular for a lot of human rights reasons.
Yeah. Yes, you are absolutely right.
And I think that one of the silver linings of this is going to be for those that have had their head in the sand when it comes to that stuff, it's going to be out in the open.
Yeah.
And that being said, we talk about this stuff, and I'm talking about this stuff, and I'm saying I have an issue with FIFA and everything like that. What am I going to be doing when USA and Wales fight? USA, USA.
It's not about the matches, about the players, about the teams. Yes. It's not about that. It's about the organization. So, yeah.
Should be interesting. It's going to be a crazy time in sports, and we're going to be talking about it a lot on Playmakers on Monday. Be sure to join us for that, and shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in this 5%, we'll never see you eye to eye, or is it ear to ear? Someone polled 1,000 Americans to find out what your favorite and least favorite sounds are.
Ooh.
I will admit that I have topics every once in a while I like to use for certain hosts. Seth is not only our head of production, but I genuinely mean this. Seth has the best ear I've ever been around for sound in this business, in radio.
Well,
I've been
you.
In this industry for 20-some years, mm-hmm. and I've never come across somebody who hears the depth that you do or mm-hmm. has the kind of hearing you do. So I actually do have a fun thing and everything. I did want to kind of go through this with you a little bit. I initially, with the subject, I was going to do the sounds to go along with.
Yep.
No. Right.
We're going to lose all our listeners if you do that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. Because mm-hmm. what we have here is the most universally hated sounds.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Nope. I feel bad enough even mentioning these because you know what's going to happen.
People are going to hear. Yep, yes, yeah. They will.
So number 10, when someone clicks their tongue really loud, 54% of people couldn't stand that.
That one, for me, is not so bad. Yeah. I can ignore that one. So
I don't think I've been around that much.
So. No.
Teeth grinding, 55% at number 9. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, again, that's not something you hear a ton of, unless it's like you're sleeping next to someone that has it. Then it can be pretty bad, yeah.
Some of these make you instinctively want to do them. Like
they
the
do,
grinding,
yeah.
The teeth thing like, and click stuff. My... Yes,
no, I'm not
yes.
going to do that.
number 8 and 7, those old classics, burping and farting. yeah, yeah.
But at least those have the bonus, or at least the positive is that they're funny.
Yes, right.
When
right.
you burp in certain ways, and of course, when you pass gas, you know everyone think that's funny. And well,
nobody's
smell,
really
but, yeah.
ever laughed at teeth grinding before.
No, you're no,
right. yeah, yeah. Number 6, slurping at 64%.
Like soup?
Like soup, or the, yes,
the
or,
last few drops in your cup of pop.
Yes.
With your straw.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Oh, see, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't make those noises.
It's you're right, though. That's another one. Especially when it's the person that there's nothing left, and they just won't let it go. They just keep...
You know, there might be one drop left, yeah. man.
Snoring, number 5. And 67% of people have trouble with that one.
Sorry, Beth.
Mm. It's a tough one. I know that I used to be a really bad snorer. I know that now it's more about sleep apnea that I have. Like, I stop breathing in my sleep, and it can freak people out and stuff.
Oh, yes, yeah. yes.
When someone smacks their gum, 68% of people said that one. Yes, and there's never been a person in history that does that and does not know what they're doing. I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe that they know what they're doing. There's nobody who chews gum like a horse. People don't do that. Yeah, only do that if you want to be a no, or you got to make sure that everybody knows that you got gum in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. When you do the little bubble and then pop it in your mouth. My dad. Oh my gosh, hated that sound so much that the minute it happened, like we're on a car trip or something like that, it was immediately, stop that right now. Don't you do that.
I get that. I do. loud talking, 74% of people on that one said that is one of the most hated sounds. Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, that while I don't disagree with that, when you grow up with it, it's like white noise to you.
Yeah.
Yelling, screaming, yep. all that stuff, city noises, mm-hmm. it's just white noise to me.
For those of us that have naturally loud voices,
yeah.
and it's not that we necessarily mean to be loud all the time, that we just get excited, you know, or agitated and our voice goes up. And that's what happens. Because I am one of those people that I tend to... There's times when I do speak too loud. And I can see how that can be annoying.
There's a lot of people out there like myself that, you know, my family, if you wanted to be heard, you had to raise your voice. Mm-hmm. That was the only way you were going to get heard in our loud family. And I mean, even if you just were telling somebody directions, you know, you're not even angry or anything. You have to go to the 45th Street and you over to talk over others and everything. But growing up around that, I learned very young in high school that I'm in a debate with somebody and my voice keeps going up.
Oh.
And it's not just because you're louder doesn't mean you're smarter, doesn't mean that what you have to say is intelligent.
Makes any more sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and trying to be more aware of that. I think I still do it quite a bit, actually. But I've tried to get a much more, be more aware
more,
of it.
Yeah, more even keeled, yeah.
I also don't think a lot of people realize how loud they can be when they're talking.
Yes, kids.
I think part of this has to do with our hearing, and part of it has to do with just the worlds the field you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Projecting, if you can't project as an actor, good luck. You know, I mean,
then you're in trouble.
You're not even going to show up in a kid's play.
No.
You know, so there's a lot of reasons behind it.
Yeah.
Number 2, both 1 and 2, incredibly understandable, and I think everybody could guess. Number 2 is chewing with your mouth open. 76% of people. We can up that to 77, because yes, I agree with that.
Add a percent there, yeah.
I genuinely think that may be the most annoying sound in the world to me.
Like smacking sound when someone's,
even if you include the Dumb and Dumber scene, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Like, even that one, along with that, I just can't handle it, man. Like, I can take on any, I mean, I deal with, I just told you guys the story about dealing with anti-Semitism the other day. Like, all that kind of stuff. I deal with that stuff on a monthly, if not weekly, basis.
Yep.
People chewing out loud. Oh, no, can't do it. Can't do it. Bob knows this. It's not something that I haven't already said to him before. My old partner around here, yep. Bob, who hired me back and who I owe to be back in radio and everything. Yep. And I say good morning to Mr. Bob Look and his beautiful boy, those dogs around him and stuff. Yep. Bob would do this from time to time. And Bob found out right away that I didn't like it. And so what would Bob do? Bob would, of course, go out of his way. To, but he did it in a funny way. He did it in a comedic way or something like that. But even when it's done like that, it was still like just, well, it was like nails on a chalkboard, which is number one. On the list. 79% of people find it somewhat or very irritating.
Somewhat or very irritating. But that's also something that, again, you were talking about before of someone deliberate. No one does that unless they really want to get somebody. I mean, that's a very deliberate act.
Yeah,
I have an honorable mention. It wasn't on the list because I know not all people have this. Styrofoam against styrofoam.
Oh, yeah.
That is a sound I can't handle. It makes my, it makes my body just, you know.
Metal on metal. And this one actually, this one stems from being in a lot of car accidents as a kid. To this day, I don't care if it's two innocent pieces of metal scraping up against each other. It catches the back of my mind. I'm just immediately like at attention and bracing myself almost.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's weird. But yeah. And we'll come back and we'll have some more fun. We got some other things we want to touch on here and plenty more here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you to take you right to the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. And, of course, be listening between now and 10 o'clock. We're going to give you a chance to play some turkey trivia.
Last chance.
Yes, your last chance today to qualify for that turkey from our friends at Quality Foods. Big shout out to them. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking a little bit of food here, Seth.
Let's talk turkey.
Let's talk turkey. That's right. If you're asking for new pants for the holidays, maybe go up a size.
There you go.
It's not a bad idea. The average American expects to gain 5.5 pounds between now and January 1st. So about a pound a week. And many of us are fine with it. 42% admit that they use the holidays as an excuse to eat whatever they want. And most people start right now. 60% said that they stopped worrying about it in mid-November. Here are the 5 ways we go overboard around the holidays.
Okay.
Eating more than one dessert after a meal. 41% of us do that.
Wow.
Eating the same meal more than once a day, like Thanksgiving leftovers for lunch and dinner, 35% will do that.
Okay, I've done that.
Mm-hmm. Eating more than 3 meals a day, 35% will do that.
Mm. Whoa. I think I've done that, but yeah.
I don't have the time for that. I don't know how I'd fit that in. Bigger late night snacks, 26% will do that. I am very guilty of that one.
Yeah, me too. Kills me.
Yes, very guilty.
Yeah.
Eating so much we feel sick, 17% will do that one.
No, I generally don't do that.
Yeah, that ain't good. That ain't good.
No.
I think there's a difference of feeling like stuffed.
Full and then eating to the point where you're like, ugh. Yeah.
It also found diets and exercises will be two of the top New Year's resolutions again.
Because of what you just went through.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense to me that that's what you do.
In this weird cycle that we've been in for decades.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to these things and stuff. But nothing changes.
No.
About 24% of us are still carrying around extra weight from the holiday last year. So it might just be pie in the sky.
So to speak.
Yes, yes. I do think that we've gotten better as a society about, you know, being accepting of these things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think we have become even harder and harsher critics of ourselves and our personal appearance.
Yeah.
Whereas a society, we've gotten better about it, I think. On a personal level, I think we still have work to do when we look in the mirror and what we think of ourselves.
Right. That's, you know, a very, very good point.
And I don't want to make that sound like, okay, society's gotten better, so, hey, we've gotten over fat shaming and all this stuff. Like, obviously, that stuff still exists.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous to compare. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the national average to weight when it comes to height and things like that. But, I mean, everything in life is a case-by-case basis, especially like things like weight and that.
There's a pet peeve of mine, and I'm glad you brought this up, because if anyone wants to know, and they still do it, my doctor does the same thing, the BMI, the body mass index, okay? Go and do a little research, find out where that came from.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's junk.
It is.
The BMI is complete junk.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I think it was like one French dude. and it was just French people, like like men.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yep. And then they went from that to what we're using it for now. No, sorry. Doesn't work that way. We need new tools, everybody.
Well, we should, if we really do need one, a scale like that or something like that, it should be updated every year. Just like our food pyramid or any of these other things. I mean,
as we learn more, re-examine, right?
Yeah. Things advance, things go farther. Yeah. And I think it's important. And speaking of food, let's help people gain some weight, Seth. We haven't done this yet. Let's do it right now. Turkey trivia time, everybody. Get ready to call 424-2600 and answer this question.
Last chance. Here it is. This is a good one. I love this one. Mm. And it might be a challenge, but you'll let us know here. What percentage of Americans celebrate Thanksgiving?
Ooh.
What percentage of Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? I think for this one, we can do a ballpark because it's this isn't a percentage. Okay, make sure you want to do that. What percentage of Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? Oh, looks like we got a caller.
Yeah, somebody called up right away on this one. Good morning. What's your answer?
85%.
I would say, 5% plus or minus?
Yes, yes.
Then we have a winner.
We have a winner, everybody. Yes. We have a qualifier, I should say. We have a qualifier.
Yeah, qualifier. Thank you.
Right. Oh my gosh.
It's actually 90%.
90%.
90%.
Oh, wow. That's Thanksgiving is the second most popular holiday in the U.S. after Christmas. That is impressive. I didn't realize that. Who do we have on the phone with us?
Jody Mallory. I called the other day, too. So.
Oh, Jody. We only take one qualifier, Jody. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Jody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jody.
It. Yeah, the way these contests usually work, you qualify once, and that's kind of
I suppose we should have been a little more specific, but yeah. Anyway.
Guess. We will we'll do this again, though. We're not done. We'll do this again. We'll do this a little bit later, and we'll have maybe a different question.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. Yeah.
Sometime a little bit later. We are enjoying grabbing these qualifiers every day.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
And it's been really nice being able to talk about quality foods, IGA, and the great people over there.
Yeah, remember, everything you need for your Thanksgiving meal can be found at Quality Foods.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything different that you're doing this year for Thanksgiving as far as food-wise?
No, I don't think so. Oh, well, I guess there is something a little different. Beth recently did some experimenting. We have a friend that's coming over for Thanksgiving who can't do gluten. Mm. So we've been trying to find what's an alternative to the normal green bean casserole. Because if those who know that you use cream of mushroom soup, well, that's got flour in it, which, of course, has gluten in it. So Beth has been trying to figure out a new way of making it without gluten herself with some cream and stuff like that. She did it a couple of weeks ago. She tried it, and it actually turned out really good. So now she's going to try to find ways to embellish it. So it's the same dish, but it's done in a different way. So it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. So
yeah, interesting. All right,
maybe she'll bring it to the table or the kitchen is open at some point.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Yes,
I think that'd be awesome, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to that. Now there will be another episode of The Kitchen's Open, I believe, on Monday.
That's correct.
Be listening for that. Beth and Melissa will be with us on the co-hosting the show on that day, and stick around, everybody, because not only is that all coming up, but of course today in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, we're going to be celebrating you guys all weekend, because it's not just for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. And then a little after that, we got our Culver Star of the Day. Seth and I are going to play a famous TV theme song.
Yep.
You call up and get the answer right, win two concrete mixers, two value baskets from our Wisconsin Rapids Culvers.
Yes.
And keep in mind, in the 9 o'clock hour, entertainment news, that ain't right story, good stories of the day. And we're going to have Audrey Day, along with Lori Peterson, joining us from Wood County Health Department. Mm-hmm. Going to talk about the Social Isolation and Loneliness Week, along with a COVID update.
Nice.
Looking forward to all of that a little bit later, right here at 97.5 FM 1320 AM WFHR.